It is the Locked On Bengals podcast with your hosts Joe Goodberry and Jake Lisco. Find us on Twitter at Joe Goodberry and at Jake_NFL. Please like, subscribe, and share as we try to grow this community and pump out daily Bengals content just for you.
What up, Bengals fans? Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. It is the weekend mailbag, even though I thought it was Friday when I left work today, and it's in fact Thursday now as we record this. Joe, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, I start working my night shifts this weekend.
Bummer.
But my wife organized my side of the garage today and threw some things out, so in my free time, I'm going to try and find what she threw in the trash.
Gotta retrieve those things.
Because you know, like, it'll be 2 months later, and I'm like, where is that screwdriver? I knew she threw it out.
It is somewhere in New Jersey or something.
Exactly. Wherever the trash goes.
As always, you can get the Locked On Bengals podcast on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Without further ado, Joe, let us get into some questions.
Okay.
Our first question comes from Ryan. At Cincy Day 97, who are five Bengals that you think can turn into Pro Bowl players?
So first I'm thinking, all right, so who's been a Pro Bowler on the roster? And we basically have Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert, Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap.
Yep.
And that's it, right? Yeah, I would say that's it.
Yep.
So I'm going to say on the defensive side, instantly who I think of is William Jackson and Jesse Bates. I could easily see both of those guys being in that discussion this year, if not next. And if, you know, if it's not this year or next for William Jackson, then he's probably fallen into the Jonathan Joseph, Leon Hall, you know, kind of forgotten about level in Cincinnati at corner. So, but I do think he's talented enough. So I'm going to say those two right off the bat. And then three other guys, Tyler Boyd, if he puts together another year like he did this past year, he could easily be in there. Mm-hmm. The obvious one is Joe Mixon. He can quickly ascend to that level. And I'm going to say it may be a long shot. I don't think it's this year. Maybe it's the year after. But Jonah Williams would be the fifth guy.
Yep. I'm with you on all five. The other ones that you could see, like, everyone's hyping up John Ross big time, right? Everyone's saying, like, he looks great. He's looking dominant. And this was Tyler Eifert today did a Q&A on The Athletic. Go check that out if you haven't and you're an Athletic subscriber. He did a Q&A, took questions directly from fans, and I didn't get there in time to ask him to come on the podcast. But somebody asked him about John Ross, and he said John Ross looks dominant. So another player talking about John Ross, talking about other guys that might make a Pro Bowl. Carl Lawson?
Sure. Will he ever have – he may not even ever be on the ballot, right?
Yeah, but he might just make it 1 year. Just – I mean, we're talking about five guys that could turn into Pro Bowl players, and he's one.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I'll go with the next one here. It's from Andrew Wells. He said, in the last mailbag, you compared the 2015 roster to the 2019 Bengals. Personally, he thinks his team resembles the 2009, the 09 team, and the runaround from 08. If you remember, they revamped the O-line, turned into a running team behind Cedric Benson, really tried to get that team back from that Owens and Chad 08. No, it wasn't. That wasn't it. That was when Carson got hurt 08. So, yeah. But anyways, he continues. Andrew here says, quarterback coming back from injury, low expectations, a wide receiver number one, saying they'll surprise people. Jake, what are your thoughts on that?
There's a new coach. That makes everything different. I mean, you can't really compare them to the 2015 Bengals either. But right. When you're talking about the last time they were very good, the last time we thought they had a chance at actually winning in the playoffs, I think that 2015, that year they lost to the Chargers, I think. I thought they would win that game.
Yeah, was that 13?
I can't remember what year it is.
I don't remember which order. It went Texans, Chargers, Colts, then Steelers?
Yeah. And against the Colts, they didn't have any receivers.
Right.
And against the Texans, well, we don't talk about the Texans games.
But I do think Andrew's on something in terms of...
Yeah, there's some parallels.
Reinventing the roster with the same roster.
Yeah.
Right?
And like you mentioned, the whole running theme and rebuilding the offensive line, those are both true this year too. I think that they could be equally or similar in quality as well, where you're even if you're expecting them to be bad, we at least this year see the chance. Like, we can see the path to the playoffs, but seeing the path to the Super Bowl, well, you have to squint a lot harder and put on some orange glasses.
And I think the reason we use 2015, not because someone asked us, but because that is the benchmark. So we want to know how far is this team from that team.
Right, and that's what I was saying. Like, that's the last time we thought they were really good and had a chance to go deep into the playoffs. And so if that's how we want the team to look, well, yeah, that's what we're going to compare them to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're on to something, Andrew. I think that's a good point. I think there are some parallels there. Next question comes from Kyle Scoble at Scoby Snacks, a weekly contributor to the Bengals mailbag. What is your most enjoyable individual play from your Bengals fandom? And conversely, what's your least favorite play? Example, mine would be the play that I referenced in some podcasts in the last 2 weeks is blurred together at this point in my head. The Leon Hall tipped pass that Brandon Stokley caught and ran with for 70 yards for a touchdown. Or he also mentions a Jamal Lewis long run to seal the 51-45 win for the Browns. I'm still shocked to this day that the Browns won that game with 96 points in the game.
Yeah, remember that? I'm going to start with my worst, and it was the perfect hit on Antonio Brown. And I know that Jeremy Hill was probably more of a direct causation to the loss, I think, because you were not at the game there, the game's over anyways. But I think when that hit happened, then the flags on the flags after the play, it quickly turned from, okay, a completion to, oh, they're in field goal range, to, oh, they're in good field goal range. This is it. This is how they're going to lose. Wow. And I remember just being completely shocked and stunned. I think a quick number two would be Carson Palmer getting his knee shredded on that deep pass in the playoff game.
Yep. The knee was rough to watch. The fumble was worse for me than the perfect hit. After the fumble, I thought they're going to lose. And I didn't even need the fumble was all I needed to see in terms of a turning tide. And yeah, like once the penalty happened, it was like, well, now they're definitely going to lose. I was in a little bit of denial until that point, but the fumble was worse for me.
But if you remember, Big Ben wasn't the quarterback when they fumbled. He came back in once they got the ball again.
Maybe it was when he came back in is when I thought. Yeah,
right. You're like, damn.
I can't stand the way he goes in and out of games, man. It drives me nuts.
So the positive side, what do you have? Do you have one that immediately jumps out for you?
There's some Chad Johnson memories that I think of quite fondly. There's that Peter Warwick punt return against the Chiefs that I think of quite fondly. But, it's hard. If they had a signature playoff win, it'd be that A.J. Green catch against the Steelers in that game that they went on to lose in 2015.
I know. I'm thinking of a bunch of A.J. Green catches in clutch moments. I'm thinking of the one against the Ravens. Do you remember that when it was back and forth at the end? Steve Smith for the Ravens and
was it the one
AJ
they lost
Green.
In overtime? The Hail Mary that was tipped?
No,
and then
this was a different one. I think they win this game. Gio picks up a nice blitz on the left side there, even though he kind of gets pushed back into Dalton. Dalton fires it up the seam as Green's in the slot, and Green breaks two or three tackles and runs into the end zone.
Yeah.
They win that game. I mean, and that goes back and forth a couple times. But I don't think that was the signature moment, but that just stands out in my mind of, man, I can't believe, you know, for a team and really a lot of the players that you felt wouldn't step up in big moments. There has been quite a few.
They were really good at coming back for a large part of the early Andy Dalton era. Andy Dalton has a surprising amount of fourth quarter comebacks.
And
to his
09, play. Too. Speaking of 09, remember how many times Andre Caldwell up the seam versus the Ravens, Chad versus the Browns at the end. Andre Caldwell catching one against a long drive against the Steelers to come back. I mean, there was a lot of cardiac cat moments in that season.
Oh, you know what might be my favorite Bengals moment? Oh, it was they beat the Steelers to clinch a playoff spot and also maybe knock the Steelers out of the playoffs. When was that?
Are you talking recent with
Green?
I was throw the sideline throw and to get him in the field goal range.
Yeah, the
Yeah,
corner
the corner
routes.
route. Yeah, that's their throw, man.
Yeah, the AJ Green, Andy Dalton on the corner route. If you follow me on Twitter, you've heard me talk about this before.
That was after Sean Williams' interception, so that had to be like 2013.
I was in Florida at the time. I remember that.
Maybe 2014, but yeah.
That was a good one.
It
Cause
was.
I'm pretty sure it knocked the Steelers out of the playoffs too, didn't it?
Yes, I remember writing about that play. That was one of his best throws of his career. I recently, as I'm going through the videos of players on the Bengals roster, I haven't made one for Dalton because I made one after his first 5 weeks, and I would say all those throws would continue to be his best throws. Maybe one more against the Bucks. He had a good one. And someone said to me, "Man, how many of these throws are in his top five of his career?" And I was like, four, maybe? And the other one I'm thinking of is that one against the Steelers on that
He's
corner
had
route
some.
to set them up.
What about that throw to Eifert against Seattle?
Yeah, and that's such a great catch. Yes, that's one of his, that would be up there. But he had so many this year that were just, and maybe not clutch moments, but just, oh my God, I didn't
High
think that
skill
was in
cap.
him. Yeah.
And doing things that we like, rolling left in
Yeah,
particular,
there's
keeping his
two
eyes
against the
up.
Panthers that are throws that are easily skill level wise, two of his best of his career.
Which is a reason to be optimistic if you want to be optimistic about 2019.
We've said this. All right, next question from JoJo Jammer. At Twitter, on Twitter, at Win One Super Bowl, and we share that sentiment. He says that both AJ and Tyler Boyd get new deals. What current starter or first off the bench will be released to free up the money?
Well, if they need to free up money, which they don't to extend those two, to be clear, this year it would be obviously Clint Bowling as the cut candidate if they need to make a camp cut this year. If it's next year, I think it's Cordy Glenn.
And to project this, and if you don't follow Andre Perrotta on Twitter, JoJo Jammer, you should. AJ Green's deal could actually be a lower cap hit this year if he gets extended. So it actually may free up $1 million or so. Tyler Boyd, on the other hand, would get a significant raise year one. So that money, if they needed it, they have it. They can afford it. But if they needed it, it'd come from Clint Bowling.
The only reason they would have to cut somebody this year is if they decided to offer Gerald McCoy $12 million. And of course, the update there is he went to Carolina. And the vibe I'm getting is that he might prefer Cleveland, but also somebody else, Ben Albright tweeted that he's taking seriously his search for who he believes is the best contender.
Interesting.
Next question.
Yeah. From Kyle again. It's up to you,
Kyle
though.
Scoble. There's some other potential cap cuts, but I think those two are the most likely. Kyle Scoble asks, would you rather the Bengals win a title this year, but they never beat the Steelers for the rest of your life, or the Bengals don't win a title in your lifetime, but no matter what, the Bengals always beat the Steelers until the day you die?
This is tough, honestly. When I thought about it, I read it, tried to read it a couple different ways to make sure I knew what he's saying, and then once I was sure, I still wasn't sure. Now the ultimate goal is to win a title. You win one, I'm gonna be happy for a long time, right? But something dies inside every time they lose to the Steelers in painful ways, and I don't know how much longer if they so they win one in 2019, right? And then we deal with them getting their head kicked in by the Steelers, but that doesn't mean they won't win one. That just means they got to go through the Steelers. Or deal with those two losses every year for history. So I guess I would take that and deal with the lumps afterwards.
You would take what?
The championship this year.
I would take the championship too. I would rather win a Super Bowl than lose than beat the Steelers every game and never win a Super Bowl. Because honestly, it's getting to the point that like I just don't care about the games. Like, yes, I don't like the Steelers and I enjoy when bad things happen to them on the football field, of course. But
Of course, yeah.
just in case it's not clear. But like I don't care. Win a Super Bowl. Win, lose to the Steelers 16 times in a season and win a Super Bowl. Not that that math works at all, but I don't care. You won the Super Bowl.
Sorry, my phone buzzed there, guys. You ready for the next one then? Before we're on agreement on
Almost,
that?
but we're going to take a quick
Oh,
break.
okay.
Today's episode has been brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Take a vacation. It's summertime. The kids are going to get off of school. Go do something fun. Use Hotels.com to book your trip. Get rewarded. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded, hotels.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Locked On Bengals podcast. It is our weekend mailbag. Our next question, we'll jump right in from Tyler Lindsay. Tyler, thank you for the continued support and questions on the podcast. But he asks, with the NBA Finals starting tonight, what's your gentlemen thoughts on leagues having dynasty franchises such as the Patriots and the Golden State Warriors. Is it a good thing to have the team that everyone hates outside the fan base, or does it ruin the experience overall? And he also asks, who do you have, Jake, Warriors or Raptors?
I see no reason to bet against the Warriors, even though I'm in Canada. And let me tell you, it's a national point of pride for Canadians. They are rooting for the Raptors, even out here on the West Coast.
Even on the West Coast. I can see Toronto from not too far from my house.
And can you throw a rock and hit it?
No.
Got a juice that arm.
Let me tell you, though, at baseball the other day, I threw a baseball about 270 feet, and I hurt my shoulder. But
yeah, of course you hurt your shoulder in your 30s.
For about a day, I was like, man, I didn't expect that to happen. But I think I can hit 300. I think I can hit 300 feet. I'm going to try it.
I cannot. I'm very sure of that. Thoughts on dynasty teams, though. I like them more for some reason in the NBA than in the NFL. Even though they're more oppressive in the NBA, for whatever reason, it's more fun for me to watch teams like the Bulls or the Warriors or the Heat. Less so the Lakers. Actually, less so the Heat and the Lakers. It's gotten a little bit less fun since it's been like constructed teams instead of homegrown teams. But the reason that the Warriors are still fun is because, you know, Kevin Durant isn't even playing right now. So it's mostly just the guys they drafted and put together, and they're just crushing it. This could be five in a row if it weren't for that slip up last year against, or was it last year or 2 years ago?
Yep.
Whenever there's that two. Was. Yeah. But in the NFL, I don't know. It feels worse. It feels like the NFL is supposed to have more parity. Although I think the NBA would prefer to have the same sort of parity that the NFL has. I think
they would,
I'm sure they would, but...
Especially between East and West, I think.
Dynasties in the NFL aren't supposed to happen because there's so many players and there's so much injury and a superstar only carries you so far, even though the Patriots have been the best team in the NFL for the last, I don't know, 15 years. They've only won so many Super Bowls, right? They don't win it every year.
But they're in it every year. And if they were in our division, we'd be mad.
Yeah, it sucks. It's oppressive. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. If I was a Bills fan, I would hate it.
Right. You'd be like, this is bullshit. We can never win anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so, dynasties are probably bad for sports.
They're probably bad. But at the same time, I don't want to get to the point where we set rules to where you can't keep your best players, right? Like, I don't want to see teams that just have to dismantle. I felt like when the salary cap in the early 2000s, even so late 90s, early 2000s, teams were like, well, we won the Super Bowl. We got to dump off half these guys because they just couldn't manage the cap. They've gotten so much better at it, and the cap has just grown so much that it doesn't matter. But there was a span where it was like, well, we won one. We got to retool this team because of it.
Yeah, well, there are at least the maximum. Are there maximum salaries in the NFL? Maybe there aren't.
No. But maybe there should be for quarterbacks eventually.
There's maximum salaries in the NBA. I don't think you can cap salaries in the NFL. The owners make too much money.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
The salary cap, on the other hand, I mean, it's a whole other thing, right? Like, it doesn't exist in baseball. It's an issue in baseball, especially for small market teams like the Reds. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Somebody smarter than me does.
When the Yankees were spending crazy money, you remember that? And they were so good. Yeah, but I mean, like, early 2000s when they were just... They were a dynasty then.
They just don't have to spend as... Yeah, yeah, you're right. They just don't have to spend as much right now because they have Aaron Judge, who was a minor leaguer they brought up, and they have the catcher whose name I forget. Anyway.
But I hated that. As an Indians fan, that they'd build enough... Oh, they had the best farm team for about 15 years. Constantly. That's why I'm an Indians fan, because their farm team was Buffalo Bisons. And constantly homegrown talent coming up and being good, and they just couldn't pay them. They just kept letting them walk. And
yeah.
You know, they got to a couple of World Series, couldn't win, and that's it.
So I suppose we're thankful for the salary cap in the NFL to some degree, but at the same time, there are problems inherent there that benefit owners in ways that perhaps it shouldn't. Anyway, next question.
Yeah, it's up to you.
What do you mean it's up to me? Evan McPhillips asks, if you could change one decision, could be a coaching hire or fire, a different draft pick, a free agent that the Bengals signed, that the Bengals made in the last 5 years, what would it be? Is this easy? I think it's easy.
I don't think it's easy, and I think they're intertwined, because I'm going to start with what led it off, and that's the selection of Cedric Oboihe. And it shouldn't have happened. I was completely against it at the time. I wouldn't have touched him in the first two rounds. Now I'd have to look at the draft to tell you who I would have taken. We did a redraft of 2015, so it's in there somewhere for me. But that led to the string of bad decisions, and it didn't have to, but they allowed it to, and because of it, you're probably going to say the Andrew Whitworth move.
No, I'm going to say draft Patrick Mahomes.
Ah, you're right, actually. We are using hindsight here. You're right.
I mean, if we're picking one move to make to change the trajectory of the franchise, you take the next generational quarterback, period.
Yes, that's what you do. Yeah. It's not even a question. It is a question, but that's what we do.
You do make a good point about the 2015 NFL draft. If they had picked, say, Byron Jones or Bernardic McKinney or somebody who went even later than
somebody
that.
Somebody who wasn't a complete bust.
Yeah.
Grady Jarrett, first round.
They got destroyed by the 2015 draft. But the thing that would change the Bengals the most is finding a quarterback.
100%. I retract all analysis and statements I made on the subject, and it is Patrick Mahomes, without a doubt.
For once, okay. I got Joe, you guys.
That's it.
For Jake, 2019.
What are you?
I know what year it is. Next question, please.
It's from Chaz at Chaz Perrin. Chaz Reinhold. Anyways, would you consider doing franchise history stuff? West Coast offense, zone blitz, hurry up, Mel Blount rule, or did the prior host already cover that? I don't know if James did cover that, but I do think we'd like to do more history things for the Bengals.
I'm not a Bengals history buff by any means, but
we can learn together.
Learn it, yeah. We can do some history lessons. Although, I mean, the history for the Bengals, like Paul Brown's, really interesting.
Oh, but for sure.
I want to skip the 90s.
There's some history there.
Well,
we need to fill some space in the next 6 weeks or so.
That's true.
I think we could even start at, 1960. What year was it? Six? I don't even know what year the Bengals started. 64? When was 50 just happened, though? So that had to be.
That was last year, right? Was it? Last year is 50, so it would have been 1968. Is that math?
Yeah, but I don't think it's exact, right? It's because it's going to be off by 1 year. You know how that works.
Is that
carry the one, divide by six. Anyways, point being, we could start there. Whenever that was, and then we can do 1 year a day and just say what happened that year, who were the best players, what happened in terms of their success or failure, and who they drafted. That'd be cool.
I'm going to have to read a history book. I would like to talk about Greg Cook. That'd be fun.
You know, there's like some 60-year-old Bengals fan right now, and we enjoy your listenership, but he's angry right now at us.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
100%.
Obviously. We are – he would have been angry. I don't know if we have – I know we do. Yeah, you're right. But you're right. They're probably just angry at us every day. We're watching a different game than they are, and we don't have the historical knowledge that they do. We're coming at it fresh. And like I've said, I really only really started paying attention to the Bengals when Marvin Lewis came along.
Yeah, and I had a longtime follower, and I think he's an older guy recently, and he said, man, when did you start being completely stat oriented or numbers or analytics oriented? And I thought, I'm not. I've been known as a film guy, if anything, but it's the off season. There's no new film.
It's the off season. Yeah.
Right.
Like, what do you want to do? Do you want us to go watch Andy Dalton's film again and be like, yeah, man, here's the same things we've been saying about Andy Dalton for the last 10 years?
Right. When the season starts and we actually have things to break down and talk about, this podcast is going to sound a lot different. That may not be good if you like what we've currently put in there. But, having actual games to talk about and film to break down will influence us and steer our conversation much more.
Yeah. No more drafting teams to save the world. Before our next question, we do need to take our second break here. Joe, I'm going to try to get you a belt again. Has anybody contacted you about getting you a Grip 6 belt?
There has been. Yes.
It worked. You're welcome.
I didn't get it yet, so we got to see. But
if anyone wants to get me a present for getting Joe a present,
untuck it. Those shirts, you like those shirts, Jake.
Shipping will be very expensive. To an island in Canada is expensive. So a couple other sponsors to mention. Untuck it, like you said, I really like their shirts, and there is a promo code out there. Untuckit.com, use promo code NBA to get 20% off. And these are button-down shirts. They have a few different styles out there, and I do appreciate the way they're cut. Also, Grip 6 belts. Get one for Joe. Get one for your dad. Get one for your kid. Get your kid to get one for you. No holes, no flap. Great low profile. Looks comfortable. Grip6.com/LOCKE for your special offers. We'll be right back to finish out the mailbag.
Welcome back to the Locked On Bengals podcast, segment 3 of the mailbag. I'm going to jump right in. David Schmidt from Schmeezy XU. I assume that's Xavier, huh? Anyways, he asks, will we see the offense be more aggressive on fourth and short? Is that something the Rams offense did under McVay?
So the Rams actually went for it in the bottom third of the league last year at only 15 times on fourth down. But they also had the fifth best third down conversion rate in the NFL. So they faced fourth down less frequently. They were a very efficient offense. And on those fourth downs that the Rams went for those 15 times, they only made it 6 times. The Bengals, by comparison, went for it 17 times last year, made it 9 times, which is 53% about, whereas the Rams only made it 40% of the time. So, interesting. But Joe, as you're going to point out to us shortly, there is something to be said about the efficiency of going for it on fourth down. And this is something that Smart Football on Twitter covers pretty well as well. He does a good job of breaking down when it's a good idea to go for it, when it's a good idea to kick it. And Joe, you wrote an article about this.
Yeah, this was mid-season, I think after a loss to the Steelers. And the Bengals punted a couple times in Pittsburgh's territory or made some bad decisions on third downs that really forced the punt also, because I think that's a big thing. But I went back and looked at numbers from 2003 to 2015. And NFL teams decided to punt the ball on 74% of their chances in this range. So the range is between the 40s going in, you know what I mean? Yep. And so the Bengals the Bengals have punted 74 times. NFL teams punted 69% of those opportunities. Mm-hmm. The good teams that I listed here are the Rams, Eagles, Patriots. They have gone for it in those opportunities 82% of the time. So
they've
the Rams
gone
won
for
the team.
It?
Yeah, they went for it. So 40 yards going in. So they're going to go for it on a 4th-and-1 rather than kick a long field goal.
Yeah. So these are the same situations we're comparing, though.
Yeah, the Bengals punted way more than the average.
The Bengals punted 70-plus percent of the time, and the Patriots, Rams, Eagles, et cetera, went for it 80% of the time?
Yes. This is over the last 2 years. So it's gone from 74% to the last 2 years being 16 and 17, which was what I had the data on. It jumped 5% going up, while the Bengals went down 5% of going for it. So teams started going for that more, and the Bengals started going for it less in the last couple of years. And this is really the basis of my article.
Interesting. We talked about this a little bit in terms of their confidence in Randy Bullock, and you'll see my Twitter tirades about why Randy Bullock is not the answer. He's a kicker who will probably belong on an NFL team, but only after your starting kicker gets hurt. Let's move on. Mr.
Do you have the next one or do you?
No, Mr. Twitter at your boy's back asks.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back. What has a better chance of happening this season? The Bengals ending their losing streak against the Steelers or the Browns winning the division?
Better chance of happening. I would say that the Bengals beat the Steelers, right?
Yeah, that's
the Browns have a decent chance, right? But that means they have to win 10 to 11 games when they haven't done that in a long time, rather than the Bengals just win one game against Pittsburgh. Yeah, that could happen.
I think that just because any given Sunday, right? Even though it hasn't felt that way against the Steelers, that's still the league we live in. I think that, 100%. Honestly, I'm not sure how good the Steelers are.
I was going to say that. The gap shouldn't be too large.
People talk about, who was it? Benjamin Solak did the top third-year players in the AFC North.
Yes. Surprisingly, a lot of good players, man. Those three teams hit their drafts.
Yeah, but he's and you don't argue with Smith-Schuster, right? This is his third year, and he has T.J. Watt in there, which I guess you can't really argue with either because he's been better than average, and he has James Conner in there too. I think James Conner's just a guy. I think they have a good offensive line. I think T.J. Watt is above average.
I'd take him.
But I don't think he's great. Yeah, you take him, but you take him for – you're going to take him off the field on third down if you have the Bengals roster. I am.
Would you? Or you'd figure out different ways. He'd probably be one of their best four rushers. You'd have to figure out how.
I mean, can he go inside?
No, but I'd move Dunlap inside. I think it'd be worth it.
I think I want Dunlap on the edge. Doesn't matter. This is not a decision that we have to make.
No, we're not building an AFC North roster here.
Nope, we're not. And we wouldn't take any Steelers anyway.
Nope, we would not.
So, all right, I guess you should ask the next question. I hate that you favorited this.
Why? You don't like this next question? Is from our guy, DustyBalls08.
This ended our friendship, DustyBalls08. Friends off.
Dustin Walls. He says, if you weren't such a small man, Jacob, which
not my name, jersey, Joe. Let's get it right. Jersey? If you're going to call me a small man, at least get my name right.
Is Jake or Jacob? Jacob's
is not my smaller. Full name. Jake
no, I know
is my
this.
Full
I'm
name.
Saying Jacob is a much smaller man. You're Jake. I was just referencing because he said if you weren't such a small man, Jacob's the small guy.
Get it right.
We tuck Jacob away. And we let Jake out. All right. He says, which current jersey would you rock? Player and color scheme, be it home, alternate away, color rush. Same question for me.
All right. Ooh, those white ones are nice.
They are nice.
I'd wear a white one.
I would too.
I'd wear a white one, and I would wear, man, that's hard. I think I want to go Tyler Eifert, man. I love Tyler Eifert, man. I was devastated when he was hurt last year, I really enjoy Tyler Eifert when he's healthy. The things he can do are not things that anyone else in Bengals history can do.
You are at a greater risk of being injured if you step out of your house in a Tyler Eifert jersey.
Nope. He's going to be healthy for the rest of his career, goddammit.
I own a current players. I own a Geno Atkins and a AJ Green jersey. But if I were to go get a color rush jersey, I'd try and get someone different, maybe someone young, someone that's going to be there for a while. I think a Jesse Bates jersey would be pretty cool.
I considered Jesse Bates. I considered Bates. I considered Atkins. I considered William Jackson.
I'd like him to get extended at this point, just AJ. So I don't have a jersey for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to wait.
You have to think about these things. You know, how long do you want this jersey?
Yeah.
You'd get at least 3 years with how expensive they are. So
I'd wear a Tyler Eifert jersey after he's gone, man. That dude's special. Special player. Next question. Rocky Mountain Hooday. That's a fun one. I guess he lives in Colorado. Actually, the Rockies go everywhere. Anyway, at Deuter the asks, if Sample is as good as they're hyping him up to be, do you think he will jump Uzama in the depth chart right away? Also, is there any word on how Malik Jefferson has been doing or how his standing is with the new staff?
First, I've heard almost nothing on Jefferson, so that's not great to hear. And honestly, I don't know how many opportunities he's getting. But on Drew Sample, if he's as good as they're hyping him to be, does he jump Uzama right away in the depth chart? I'm going to say no, and I'm going to say that because I think they play different positions. And I think that's part of the reason why they were so attracted to James Sample and a Y tight end type. And we've talked about tight end types before. A Y tight end is a guy you can put on the line of scrimmage. He can help you block defensive ends. He can climb up. He can block that Sam linebacker, those linebackers on the line. Uzama can do it, but he is more built like a move type tight end. Same as Eifert, but not like Eifert, because Eifert's more of like a wide receiver at this point. So all three of them are different. Uzama's more of the H-back type or the move guy. Eifert is a wide receiver, slot receiver by all definitions at this point. Sample will get his plays, but that doesn't mean he's going to replace Uzama. I think they will all play at some point, and potentially all three could be on the field at the same time.
If they're all healthy, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they all come out at very similar snap counts at the end of the year.
I know. Like each guy getting 25 snaps a game, if they're getting 75, that'd be excellent based on their recent history.
Yeah, let's say 20 snaps.
Yeah, let's bring it back a little bit. If they start to consistently get over 55 snaps, we're happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I also haven't heard anything about Malik Jefferson. We asked Kat Terrell about it, I think, last week, and most of
these reporters are
watching the offense primarily, and she did make a note, I think, that she was going to try to watch for Malik Jefferson this week. Maybe we should ask her again.
He's wearing 45.
He's definitely getting run with the second team, so it's not like, you know, I don't know.
I mean, of course he is, right?
How much are you going to notice the second team linebackers, unless it's Jermaine Pratt, who isn't even practicing?
Exactly. And then you would think Pratt may play more than, I don't know. It all depends on, I think, a lot of factors. I think we're not going to know until preseason.
Yeah. Or training camp when it's open.
That's true.
Sample, yeah, agree. If he's as good as they're hyping him up to be, I mean, they're making him sound like he's Gronkowski out there, but he's obviously not. We've talked about, I think equal snaps is the more likely outcome.
Yes. Next question from Joseph Mulvey, I believe. He said, I saw something about the defense running more five-man fronts. Is that going to essentially look like a 46 defense, which is basically with one safety deep and then your safety walks up, or it can be a linebacker. Anyways, what might the personnel look like? Does Sean Williams become a de facto linebacker?
He might. So if they have five defensive linemen and four defensive backs, that leaves two spots. This is a linebacker and but they probably want to get five defensive backs out there most of the time because nickel. So yeah, then maybe Sean Williams is the second linebacker and they keep Vigil out there or something. I wonder how much they'll do it though. I know they're talking about it, but is there really a place? I mean, this has been a trendy topic in the last few weeks, I feel like. Is there really a place in the NFL right now for five-man defensive lines?
Yeah, I think you have to look at it differently, though. I think any 3-4 team is basically a five-man defensive line because those two outside linebackers are on the line of scrimmage a lot of times. So you have your 3D linemen, your two edge guys are on the line. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's
if
funny.
Carl Lawson's standing up, I don't care if he's a linebacker or a defensive end. He's an edge guy playing the same position.
TJ Watt had 150 coverage snaps last year.
That's significant. And that means he's dropping in coverage a lot. So and I
Well, but
also
don't
think
you need to drop one of those guys 50% of the time?
on pass plays,
Yeah.
on the run plays, you've got five guys on the line to help
Yeah.
you defend the run. And I think that's where the advantage comes in on those.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if you have less guys in coverage, you are prone to let up more pass plays, I mean, more yards per pass play and more efficiency. So you don't want to drop, you don't want to always rush five guys. That some quarterbacks are going to pick you apart. My last point was going to be, you could also look at other defenses and how they play. I would say the Seattle and Jaguars, with their over-under fronts, and because of it, they are kind of a hybrid
Yeah.
type defense. I even think the Ravens kind of fit in this recently in the last couple of years. But that outside linebacker is almost their fifth defensive
Yeah.
lineman. So they're a 4-3 team, sort of. It's hard to even define
But
it
it's
without
but it
showing
is a
texture.
linebacker.
It is a linebacker. If that linebacker is Carl Lawson, then he's not a linebacker. If it's TJ Watt, he's not a line. I mean, you feel good about those
Watt
guys
dropped
and
into coverage
okay.
150 times, and he was awful there, but he did it.
Right.
If you drop Carl Lawson into coverage 150 times this year and you're Lou Anarumo, you're doing your life wrong.
Yes, Von Miller too. He doesn't drop into coverage, but he's listed as a linebacker. So really, I mean, if they're out there in a 4-3 type defense and he's the Sam linebacker or weak side linebacker, whatever, it doesn't even matter. But if he's on the line of scrimmage, he is a de facto five defensive lineman down at that point. So I think there's plenty of ways to do it without, you just have to think of it a little differently, is my point. Next question here. Oh, you. It's up to you now. You're up, Jake.
I was having a yawn.
Oh.
TRL at CNatty87 asks, are the players buying in to Lou Anarumo's defense? There hasn't been much news on the defense and what he's trying to accomplish. I listen to the podcast every day, by the way. 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100. That's a
It's just
little.
telling that those are emojis, the 100. Like,
Yeah.
is he keeping it 100 or is the podcast 100?
Yes.
Yes, I agree. It is both. Thing is, we don't get a lot about the defense still. We still have not. And we've
You did
questioned
get the
on
five linemen little
the
breadcrumb, and
bit,
that
right?
does make sense when you start to talk about the background and the LeBeau
And the zone
stuff.
blitz and stuff.
Yep.
They drop Sam Hubbard in and in the coverage, still rush four guys potentially. And if it was five guys on the D line, okay, well, then there's Sam Hubbard's kind of doing your TJ Watt.
You know what? I'm going to be pretty proud if they end up running LeBeau stuff and sniffing that out from the guys they hired.
You did your homework. You were really looking for any nugget you could find. And you said, you know what? Sounds like some LeBeau hybrid defense
A
stuff.
lot of these guys have LeBeau ties, yeah.
Right. So. And we'll talk about Dick LeBeau when we get to podcast number 600 in the year 1997 or whatever it was. I'm pretty close.
Yep.
Yeah, so we don't have much. And we're going to update you guys as much as we know about the defense when we know. It's a lot of speculation. It's a lot of getting tidbits of one or two plays and trying to run with it. I wish we had more to tell you.
We would talk about it more if we had more. This is like beat writers when they're like, hey, man, is Tyler Eifert healthy? He'd be like, man, we would tell you if we knew.
Right. We don't know at this point.
Yeah.
We can make it up and talk about some cool, exciting stuff, but that wouldn't be cool.
The Bengals
Anyways,
running a new defense. It's a
right.
1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-6.
I'd like to count your ones there and make
There's
sure there was
too many
five,
ones. Too many
unless we end
ones.
up with 12 guys on the
I
field.
think that's
Now
12
that's a
men. Yeah.
defense.
Anyways. But since they're all ones, it's going to confuse the refs, and that's how you get 12 men on the field.
We've got our last question now, Jake. Are you ready?
Yeah. Let's get me out of here.
Okay. You're losing. You're losing yourself. It's from Andrew Gauder, I want to say.
Yeah, that sounds
right. G-A-U-D-E-R. Yeah, sure. Okay. He says, thoughts on the current B logo? Would you change it? And if so, what would you do to it? New Day should have a new look. No?
I would love it if they went back to the tiger. But short of the tiger, I think it'd be cool if they found a way to just incorporate the stripes into the midfield a little bit somehow. Like, fade them in somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just an idea. Also, it'd be really cool if when the Bengals host Thursday Night Football and they wear those whiteout jerseys, if they can make the end zone also white and black.
Oh, that costs some money, but that would be awesome. It'd but you be can't so because cool. of the whites. You can't have white on white with what the because the out of bounds.
Damn.
Yeah, you'd have to like trace it in orange what if, at least.
Isn't this a thing somewhere though? Oh, in basketball. In basketball, they do like the inverse, but they'll put
You would think they'd allow them the freedom to make the out of bounds orange.
Make it black or something.
Sure.
Probably could do black because it's black and white, but you know what I mean.
Yes, and as far as the logo goes, like I was walking through the mall the other day with my wife, and there's a sports store, and they had these awesome wooden plaques that were all carved, and they had real cool lines and wood grain in them, and they had a bunch of logos from different sports teams, and they had a Bengals, but it was a B. Yeah, and I said, I'm not getting it.
It's so unexciting in sports memorabilia, even more so than on the field.
My memorabilia is really cut down on the Bengals since they went to the B, to be honest with you. I love that big tiger head. I love the leaping Bengal. Honestly, yeah. Bring those both back, and I'm down to buy some things again and put them on the wall. But, I can't do anything with the B. It's just so generic. It is so – a kindergartner could have come up with that. It just – there's nothing there.
There's a lot they could do with the tiger mascot, too, that would be badass and cool.
Right.
They have options. But they have a B with stripes on it.
Right.
Please.
I think I have from a 2012 game or so. It might have been earlier than that. It's a cup with a Bengal, like a rocked up, jacked up Bengal wearing a Bengals jersey. He's a big tiger, and he's got a football in his hand, and he's running. And remember the old logo of the Bengal tiger running, and he's got a helmet on, and he's got the ball in his hand. I'm talking like this is an old logo. And you got to look it up. Yeah, they could update that completely. Maybe I'll draw that up. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, mock it up. Get a job with the Bengals as an artist.
You know, those guys don't get paid for that stuff, really.
No.
The guy who came up with the black suit Spider-Man costume, he submitted it like, wouldn't this be a great idea? And they're like, yes. And now that's Venom.
And now that's mine.
Right.
And you now made this? I made this.
Right. Here's credit. Here's a one-liner credit.
Yeah.
So that's not worth it. But
that's the world we live in. Anyway, that will do it for this episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. We'll be back next week with – it'll be June. So we're going to be – you know, we're getting – oh, it's hard. We're almost to training camp. I don't know.
I'm impressed how many people are still sticking with us on this.
We do appreciate that.
You can come back 6 weeks later and not miss a thing.
You would miss us.
Don't do that, though.
We're hilarious.
Probably. Every download is like 12 cents for us, so we appreciate it.
Nope.
Not even. It's a half a cent, right?
I don't think so.
You don't think it's a half?
I don't know. We'll be back next week. Until then, look for the podcast on the new podcast app, Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated lists and new features every day. Discover new podcasts, but mostly listen to us. You can find us also on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Give us a rating. Give us a like. We really appreciate that. Until next time, Bengals fans, have a good one.